Just take inventory of the first 8 months of this year so far. 8 or 9 White House meetings over the renewable fuel standard. The Ted Cruz circus and his 10-cent RIN cap in the center ring. Good thing he didn't become president, huh? Behind the circus tent, EPA handing out small refinery exemptions, nearly 50 of them, like trick-or-treat candy, erasing 2.2 billion gallons from the RFS, cratering the RIN market, flooding the market with cheap RINs. That's gotten us dangerously close to that 10-cent RIN cap. In 1 year's time, RIN prices, since we met in Omaha, RIN prices have fallen nearly 80%, but Carl Icahn's refinery investment has more than doubled. I hope that's not the win-win. And speaking of Carl Icahn, who was it again that he recommended serve as the leader of the Environmental Protection Agency? Scott Pruitt. Where do we even begin? I think it's safe to say that as the ethical scandals piled up, the damage that Scott Pruitt did to farmers and the RFS earned him a one-way, first-class ticket to Oklahoma. On one hand, we've got trade wars, plural. We've got a 70% tariff from China on our ethanol exports. But on the other hand, we have 3 or 4 presidential promises, as Duane mentioned, to finally allow E15 year-round. But just to make things interesting, acting EPA Administrator Andy Wheeler insists that we must package allowing blends above E10 to be used year-round with yet another win for refiners. So now what? Where do we go from here? How do we shape a positive outcome going forward? For starters, we capitalize on the clout of American farmers and rural America as we lead to the midterm election, enlisting the help of our allies in the Senate, the many governors who strongly support us, and the candidates who need your vote this fall. We must keep grassroots pressure on the White House, on EPA, to make good on the president's promises to maintain 15 billion gallons in the RFS. And yes, that means reallocation of those waivers. To finally approve RVP relief for E15 and higher blends. The midterm election is just 82 days away. All 435 seats in the House are up for grabs. 1/3 of the Senate is in play. And the president would like to maintain his majority in Congress. That means you're about to get inundated with phone calls, with emails, and political ads. But it also means that you have leverage. As candidates stump for your vote this fall, make sure you hold them accountable to promises that have been made. Make sure you hold them accountable to our priorities. Keeping the RFS intact, reallocating small refinery exemptions, approving RVP relief for blends above E10. If a candidate waffles or makes excuses, that candidate does not deserve your vote. We also need to reframe this win-win nonsense with a dose of reality. The president is fond of saying, you're going to win so much, you're going to get sick and tired of winning. That's the rare air refiners are breathing today. They've been getting their way all year long. Rural America needs to stand up. Rural America needs to speak out. Farmers are losing money while refiners have the best of both worlds. Fat profit margins and minimal RFS compliance costs. Hardship? Hogwash. In the words of the Wall Street Journal, refiners are floating on a sea of cash. If you are a farmer, deserve a seat at the winning side of the table before the November election. It's the leverage that we have. And one last observation, if I may, about this win-win talk. It completely ignores why we have an RFS in the first place, and that is to fix a broken market. In a truly free, in a truly competitive market, the low-cost producer wins. Ethanol today is what? Fetching 75, 80 cents under RBOB. You factor in the value of a RIN, we approach a dollar under RBOB. In a truly free, in a truly competitive market, ethanol use wouldn't be constrained to just 10%. But it is, because left to their own devices, refiners are not going to allow the lower cost, higher quality fuel to the market. Without some policy lever like an RFS, we are unable to access the consumers, and refiners can continue to stand in our way. And that's where we find ourselves today, a broken market, because EPA refuses to push the policy lever that is the RFS. And people like Carl Icahn, frankly, they're laughing all the way to the bank. The law is on our side, and that's why we're insisting on reallocation of the small refinery exemptions. That's why we've sued EPA. We were left with no other choice. That's why we've sued EPA over the handling of the small refinery exemptions. And that's why we encourage you, if you haven't already done so, to submit comments to EPA before tomorrow's deadline over the 2019 RFS. We've provided some talking points in your packets. There's some advice here on the screen for how to easily submit those comments. Please don't miss this opportunity to make your voice heard. There have absolutely been bright spots this year. EPA is considering the role of 100 RON E30 in helping the automakers comply with 2021 to 2026 CAFE greenhouse gas standards. Every single time EPA rolls out a new proposed rule dealing with the fuel economy and greenhouse gas standards for automobiles, they say more and better things about higher blends of ethanol. This year specifying E30. So this is a real opportunity for us to capitalize on that. As California and EPA battle over whether those standards should be relaxed or whether they should stay the same, we need to continue to work with our auto partners to position E30 blends, 100 RON blends, as the fuel of choice to power the new engine technologies in the future. And we can make the point that clean air and fuel economy do not have to be sacrificed if those higher blends of ethanol are permitted. Meanwhile, as Duane alluded to, dozens of countries are booking boatloads of ethanol destined for export, and we're on pace to set another record this year. And as we hold the administration's feet to the fire on E15 and higher blends, E15 is available increasingly at more locations, nearly 1,500 nationwide, and sales of E30 and E85 are absolutely on the rise. During a discussion we had with the ACE Board of Directors yesterday and several of our members, there was renewed enthusiasm for, in our own backyards, making sure that ethanol producers are doing more than ever before to partner with wholesalers, to partner with retailers, to make sure we are selling more and higher ethanol blends right here at home. I know it isn't happening fast enough, but progress is being made. Wrangling over market share with the most profitable companies in the world requires our industry to be resourceful. It's always required our industry to punch above its weight. We can't get there on slogans. There is no easy street to increasing market share, no silver bullet. It requires resolve. It requires ingenuity, and yes, it requires grit. And fortunately, our industry, grassroots ACE members like you in particular, are familiar with those things. You epitomize those things.